Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In the course of the long argument being made within his meditations, particularly from Meditation 3 onward, René Descartes is introducing, or rather reintroducing, since he thinks we have this idea back in our minds at all times, the idea of an omnipotent God, a God who lacks no perfections whatsoever, a supreme being. And in Meditation 4, when he is concerned with the issue of human error, the thing that motivated the entire project of the meditations to begin with, he has to take on a bit of what we call theodicy, that is, explaining God's ways, literally. But another way of understanding theodicy is getting God off the hook. And this is something that has been done really throughout the ages. Many Christian thinkers are doing this, but even pre-Christian thinkers as well in philosophy. So Descartes has the human being and a world that he's slowly getting us back to, and a God who created the human being and maintains the human being in existence. So then the question is, since I know that I make mistakes, isn't God responsible for that? And so Descartes considers a number of ways of attacking this problem. The very first discussion that he has, early on in the fourth meditation, says that God is not a deceiver. Now, why is God not a deceiver? Well, because to want to deceive is going to be involving a lack of perfection, or you could say an imperfection. So he says, I recognize that it's impossible that God would ever deceive me. Why? Because in every fraud and every deception, tromperie, that there's always some sort of imperfection. And he says, although it seems that being able to deceive is a mark of subtlety or power, if you might think about the evil genius that he brought up in Meditation 2, he says, still, to want to deceive witnesses, without any doubt, to a kind of weakness or malice. And so weakness would be a lack of perfection, a lack of strength. Even if this being is super powerful, it would be lacking something. Malice is a lack of the perfection of goodness. So God cannot want to deceive us. So does God deceive us by mistake then? Or does this get God off the hook? Descartes then says, well, we got to be careful. Let's think about what error actually is. Error, he goes on a little bit later to say, is not something that is real. It doesn't have a real being of its own. Everything that is real, you could say God is on the hook for. Everything that has a positive being. So he says, I recognize, or I know that error, insofar as error, is not something real that depends on God, but that it's only a defect. So a little bit later, he'll talk about it as a lack, a manquement, or more specifically, a privation of a kind of knowledge that ought to be within us. And the word for knowledge he uses there is connaissance. We should understand that quite broadly to encompass any sort of knowledge. So there's something lacking within myself. And again, we could say, okay, well, that's nice. So God didn't create error itself. God's not actively deceiving you, but God created you. So isn't he still on the hook? And we could ask this question, couldn't God have created me in such a way that I would never actually go wrong about things? And, you know, the answer to that is not provided early on in this meditation, number 4. But Descartes is going to get us eventually to the point where we see that actually we don't have much to complain about. God created us in such a way that if we want to avoid error and we want to do the work that's involved in avoiding error, if we're not so committed to, say, our pet ideas and assumptions or jumping into all sorts of judgments that perhaps we don't have good grounds to make, if we can exercise a little bit of ascesis of the will, not Descartes' term, but a good term for this, a little disciplining of the will, then we can actually avoid errors, and that's what's being developed in the meditations, and particularly in meditation 4. So how would this actually work? Well, you know, the short story of this, and we'll talk about this more elsewhere, is that we should try to suspend our judgments as much as possible so that the will doesn't outrun the intellect or the understanding. We ought to say, if I can't really understand it, I shouldn't commit myself to it. That's where we run into most of our problems, isn't it? Now, Descartes also considers the different human capacities that God gave us. You could say, listen, maybe God isn't actively deceiving us, and he gave us the possibility of being able to not be deceived, but that's way off after I do a lot of work. Why didn't God give me better capacities to do this process with? Why do I have to work so hard at it? And so, you know, he considers whether we actually have a grounds for complaint. So he says, looking at myself, seeing that my errors arise out of two causes, that is the power of knowing which is in me and the power of electing, or better yet, my free choice, mon libre arbitre, you know, he says, that is to say my understanding and also my will, volonté. And he says, the understanding by itself does not assert nor does it deny anything, but all it does is conceive ideas of things that then afterwards I can assert or deny. So the understanding or the intellect, or if you like, reason, is engaged in this process of grasping the world. It has ideas that it works with. Now, it's actually quite limited, as he says. And so this is where we might want to criticize God, right? He says, there isn't any reason that could actually prove that God ought to have given me a greater and more ample faculty of knowing than that which he gave me. And, you know, if I consider it, I don't have to think that, you know, it should have been made perfect or anything like that. It's actually pretty good. It's just not perfect. There's a lot of things I don't know. My acquiring knowledge of things often has to happen in steps. That's the kind of understanding that I have. And if I consider things closely and I take my own pride or egoism out of it, I'll realize there's a lot of things I don't know. But I could come to know them, at least some of them, or at least have some good assurances that things are probably this way. We really have nothing to complain about, Descartes says, when it comes to the powers of our understanding. Certainly, he has nothing to complain about. He's a very bright man who could, at a young age, solve all sorts of mathematical problems. He doesn't have much to gripe about. He also says this about our other mental faculties. Memory, imagination. And then he says, other things, you know, whatever other power, when I examine them, I don't find anything, any one of them, which isn't in myself quite small and limited, and in God would be immense and infinite. But that doesn't mean that I have a cause to complain about them. As a matter of fact, knowing that my understanding or intellect, knowing that my memory, that my imagination are in fact limited, could help me to better use them. Because what this all turns on is something else, our own free will. And here Descartes goes back and forth between two terms that some theorists will distinguish, libre arbitre, which in Latin is the arbitrium, the judgment, the decision, and volonté, will, Now, they can both be understood here in Descartes' thing as will and as a free will. And part of what makes the will free is that it can decide itself. God has given us this faculty of will, and we can decide what to do with it. And making the wrong choice with that, that's where we get ourselves into trouble. So he says, the will is very different. I experience in myself the will to be so great that I cannot conceive at all of the idea of another will that would be more ample and more extensive, plus étendu. So he says, this is what makes me know that I bear within myself the image and the resemblance of God. Our wills are so unlimited, right? They exceed any limits, any born in French, any borders. They exceed it so much that we are, in fact, like God. So he says, the will consists simply in that we can do something or not do it. That is to say, affirm it or deny it, pursue it or flee it. Or, he says, rather, in that, in order to affirm or deny, to pursue or flee things that the understanding proposes to us, we act in such a way that we don't feel ourselves to be constrained by something else. So our wills are very extensive. They exceed any limit that can be placed upon them. Doesn't mean that everything that we do will automatically within the world that we live in happen the way that we will it, but we can will it, right? We can will crazy things. We can decide for ourselves that we ought, if we want to, play around with some of the ideas that came up early in the meditations, that we want to believe that we're made of glass or that we want to consider Descartes' meditations. That's up to us. And so we don't have anything to complain about when it comes to the will either. As a matter of fact, I suppose you could say, why didn't God create me with such a will that I would never will the wrong thing? It wouldn't be a will then. It's up to us to will what we choose to will. That's the very nature of a faculty of will. So we don't really have any complaints that we can make, any serious complaints, about the human capacities that God gave us, according to Descartes. And he tells us that none of the capacities that we receive from God are causes of our errors. It's rather the way in which we use them. So there's nothing wrong with the capacities as such, limited or unlimited, powerful or weak. It's rather what we choose to do with it. So it really, in some respect, does depend on our will, because our will does, in fact, get to decide what we're going to think about and what we're going to will and all that. But it's more, you could say, in the use of the will rather than in the will itself that the problem arises. So insofar as we've been generated and maintained in existence by this supreme being, God is not the cause of errors, according to Descartes. We are the cause of the errors that we suffer. And we are also able, in the way that we're made, to avoid falling into those errors. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.